club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And it's November 1, MG, which means NRL free agent frenzy. It's on.
Brent Reed today. I'm going to get my champagne ready. I'm going to get my fireworks. I'm getting my sparklers. Because it's all happening. It's Christmas for us big kids because also there's a massive race on tomorrow.
Just a little horse race by the name of the Melbourne Cup happening at Flemington, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, which we will be deep diving into. You and I will be giving our predictions. But more importantly, the only person on the face of the planet who for the last 2 years has tipped the first four, Emma Freedman, will be back to make it a hat-trick of first fours in the Melbourne Cup right here.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
I'm pretty sure I know what she'll be picking. Most of Australia are picking, so could be a bad day for bookies tomorrow.
We're going to talk to Emma Freedman in about 10, 15 minutes. You won't want to miss that. But up next, MG, it is free agency frenzy day. But it's eerily quiet. I feel like we should have at least seen one contract by now.
Yeah, well, we've seen a couple. I know that Cody Walker seems to be putting pen to paper, but where's the rest? Where's the avalanche? Well, I want to know if there's any one man who can tell us that.
You're right. Let's get to him.
Read about it. Read about it. Reedy's mail.
This is it, MG. It's the Rush Hour with Brent Reed.
Oh, yeah.
For the full show today because it is November 1. It is NRL free agency frenzy. Oh, Reedy, have you got a list as long as your arm for us to rattle through?
Well, it's been a bit of a slow burn so far. We haven't
What?
You've got to go slow because you can't be doing deals today. That'll look a bit dodgy if you knocked them over. Remember years ago, there was I won't name the CEO, but he announced a whole lot of deals. I think it was June 30 back then. He announced them all on July 1 and everyone went, mate, how have we done that? How have we done that in such a short time? I think it was all there was an outcry. So, look, I don't think we expected a million deals to be announced today, but you can bet your bottom dollar there's a lot going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of offers being delivered by email today. There's lots happening, and it's only a matter of time before it explodes.
Well, okay, let's talk about the silence then. Whose inbox is beeping continuously as emails drop in?
Well, I reckon the most busy would be the manager of Brandon Smith because he came out and publicly said, "I want your best deals on November 1." So, you know, he's a highly coveted player. I mean, you're talking Gold Coast, North Queensland, the Sydney Roosters, Canterbury. Just about every club in the game wants a piece of Brandon Smith. So all those offers are coming in now, and obviously his manager and he will sit down. And obviously, Melbourne, I spoke to them, Matt Tripp before, the chairman of the Storm and the majority owner, and Matt said, look, we're just waiting to hear what we've got to do to keep these guys, and, you know, we're basically under siege, we're braced for it, and we're ready to respond. And obviously Brandon's one of those guys, but, you know, we're talking big dollars for Brandon Smith. I'd be surprised if he's anything under $800,000 a year, Brandon Smith, it's just because he's got so many clubs who are in the market to sign him.
Yeah, and I think what he proved this year, Reedy, was the fact that he's very versatile. He started the year a bit unfit, and everyone straight away asked questions about him and said, oh, Harry Grant, once he's back, Brandon will be back to the bench, but he fought. And I think them fighting qualities is what clubs are after because he stole the number 9 jersey for the whole season, had Harry Grant coming off the bench, but not only can he play number 9, but he plays 13, it's just as good. So I understand. Look, with him, you get more than a rugby league player. You get, you know, eyes on jerseys, and people love him. He's a character of the game.
Well, I think the other thing about him, MG, is he's a hooker, right? And hooker is a position where I wouldn't say they're rare at the moment, but there's about three really good ones who are on the market: Api Korosau, Reed Marnie, and Brandon.
Wow.
And you look around the NRL; it's probably a position where there's some opportunity. There's some clubs who desperately need hookers. I mentioned the Gold Coast, Canterbury, desperately need a hooker. Both those clubs. So, you know, those guys are in a pretty fortunate position that they're in demand at the moment and they're going to get paid like it.
What about another of the headline players in this free agency frenzy, Joey Manu from the Roosters? We know the Warriors want him. There's been reports of a positional switch that he wants. Where's it looking like he might land?
Well, the latest is it looks like he might stay at the Roosters. You know, obviously Uncle Nick's a pretty compelling individual, Nick, and You know, I think they've basically sold Joey on a vision that down the track he'll get his chance at those positions, at fullback, at 5'8" down the track. He'll get the chance to have his hands on the ball more at some point. Maybe not in the next 2 years, but beyond that, you know, Luke Keary's, I think, turning 30 next year. Teddy's 28, turning 29. Joey's only 25. So it looks like the Roosters are winning the fight there. I expect something in the next couple of days on that front. But if they can keep Joey Manu, it's huge for that footy club because, you know, I thought this year he was their best player, Joey Manu.
Oh, unbelievable.
But alongside Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy was Teddy was the constant, wasn't he? And Brett Morris before his injury. But Manu just, he seems to be improving every year. And I think it'd be a great stay if the Roosters can have him at Bondi for the next few years. But another guy in hot pursuit is Nia Cora from Parramatta.
Yeah.
There's obviously Dragons were the front runners, but there's another player in there as well now.
Well, the Warriors have been eyeing him off for a while now, MG. And, you know, when Peter O'Sullivan was at the Warriors, Nia Cora was one of the players he was very keen on. And, you know, I think the Parramatta, we've spoken about their cap problems and the amount of players they've got to keep and the fact it's going to be really difficult for them. Now, you know, I mentioned Reid Marnie. I think Gutho's getting shopped around to see whether they can push his price up a bit or his management can push his price up. I think he's been offered to the Dolphins. Gutho to find out whether they're interested in him. I don't think he wants to leave Parramatta. I don't think he will leave Parramatta. But, you know, when you consider you've got Reid Marnie who's being shopped around and his price is going up because his clubs are interested in him. Gutho, you know, potentially being shopped around and his price being pushed up. Something's got to give. And Nia Cora would seem the one because the Warriors are mad keen on Murata Nia Cora. The Dragons are mad keen on him. And, you know, Parramatta's not going to be able to keep them all.
Mm.
So they're going to lose some. And he seems the obvious one that will leave.
One deal that has been done today, though, is the South Sydney Rabbitohs re-signing Cody Walker. They're holding on to their man.
Yeah. Yeah. And the interesting part of this is it's only a 1 year deal, which means he's now aligned with Latrell Mitchell. They're both off contract at the end of 2024. They're obviously close. And, you know, maybe they become a package deal down the track. They've got the same management company. As I said, they're very close. So their contracts are now aligned, which means I'm not sure it's a good thing or a bad thing for South, but, you know, down the track, potentially those guys become a package deal for someone. It's an expensive package deal, but maybe that's the way it heads now that they come off contract at the same time.
Wow, what a package deal they'd be.
Those two blokes. That'd be
my
handy,
goodness. And that's really interesting that he's only signed an extension of 1 year because I don't think that's good news for South, to be honest. I don't think that's good news at all for them.
No, well, you know, it's interesting he's done that because, you know, I'm sure the offer was there for a long-term deal for Cody. And the fact that he's only done 1 year, you're right, it's 1 year. It's interesting, MG. I'm not sure how to read it, but as I said, the sense that he and Latrell have aligned their contract suggests that maybe they're looking at doing something together down the track.
All right, well, Reedy, what we need you to do between now and Thursday is get on the phones, start getting these player managers into gear. Because if we get you back on this Thursday and there's been no pen put to paper, it's disappointing, frankly.
You may not have got to put the champagne away now. The champagne
you do. Put the champagne away.
On ice. Oh, I was about to sip.
Okay, the ice will be melted at this rate, right?
You know what? Just drink some champagne just for the hell of it, MG, and put another bottle on ice.
I'm going to. Thank you. You just, okay, you've twisted my arm.
You deserve it. Thanks, brother.
Very nice work, Reddy. As always, we'll speak to you again on Thursday.
See you, guys.
MG, we've got to put the brakes on rugby league chat because tomorrow it is the day. The race that stops a nation, the Melbourne Cup, will be run at Flemington tomorrow. And if the rush hour family members will know that at this time of the year, there is only one way to decide on where to bet and what to bet on tomorrow in the race.
A lot of experts out there, and a lot of them are very good judges of horses. Yeah. But the one who we speak to every year is the best. She happened to pick the top four the last 2 years running. And she'll do it again this year,
I bet. I'd argue there's no one else on the planet that has done that in the last 2 years. I think we can confidently say, without looking into it too deeply, this is the only place where we have got the tipster, the expert, the pundit, who has tipped the top four of the Melbourne Cup 2 years running. She joins us. She's going to make it three in a row. Racing royalty, Emma Friedman. Yay, Freo!
Christ, no pressure. like feeling real good about myself, guys, about the pump up, but also like can't wait for all the heckles when I can't pick it this year and I'm getting so hate mail. But anyway, thanks for that. Yeah, appreciate it.
Oh, God, love you. Oh, look,
I tell you what, it is one of those Melbourne Cups where there is one clear winner. And yeah. I've got to declare now that I think Incentivise is, you know, he's a once in a generation stayer, possibly if he can win the cup tomorrow. So I'll give you a sneaky hint to start with, but Incentivise equals star.
100% it does. The Caulfield Cup victory was enough for a lot of people to say, yep. Yeah. And not since Farlap have we seen a horse's short in a Melbourne Cup. I think this morning it was 280. Will it come in or do you think it'll drift?
Looking at the market at the moment, MG, he's still $2.80. I can't see him drifting, but the only thing that might concern punters, and I don't think this has been done before, but he's had like 9 starts since the middle of the year, which is a lot of racing, but he seems to be the kind of horse who can deal with that and it only lets him get further and race better. But that's the unknown in terms of how much racing he's actually had over the last couple of months. It is an enormous amount, but I just feel it can prove that statistic wrong. And, you know, to win a Melbourne Cup, Caulfield Cup double, the last time it was done was in 2001 with Ethereal, and before that, done quite a few times in the 90s, but not in the last 20 years have we seen that feat achieved. And I think, if anything, he could firm up slightly. I reckon $2.80, I mean, still... it's still really, really short, but I just can't see a huge amount of money coming for anything else.
And here it is time for Emma Friedman's good four. Oh. Emma Friedman, she's already told us Incentivise the favourite will obviously be a big part of this first four. Fill it out, Freo. Name the other three horses that run behind Incentivise
tomorrow.
I only
get three more. I can't box them.
Oh, no, you do it. Oh. You do it as you see fit. You tell us how it rolls.
You do it.
All right. So we definitely throw in the one, Twilight Payment, who won the race last year. Joseph O'Brien, he's won 2 Melbourne Cups and a Cox Plate. He's only 28 years old as a trainer. He will have this horse primed, ready to run tomorrow. So you've got to throw in the one. As I mentioned, you've got to throw in the 2, Incentivise, because he's just a star. And God, I'm going to sound like an absolute idiot here, but throwing in the 3 as well. So we've got 1, 2, and 3. Spanish Mission, trained by an English trainer, Andrew Balding. First start in Australia, but he's the one that punters have liked at the start of the prep. He's been on the drift a little bit, but I think the market at the start of, you know, when things opened a couple of months ago was quite firm. You've got to trust that. The 4, Very Elegant. Now, she's a star. Her campaign so far this spring has been really up and down. My mail is her track work on Saturday was a grade and almost freakish. So I think you've got to throw the Mighty Mare, Very Elegant, in your multiples as well. I've got to throw in the Friedman horse, number 7, Delphi, with Damien Oliver on board. I think if I'm going to throw one more in, it's number 12, Persan, who ran 3rd in the Melbourne Cup. He's at the Caulfield Cup. He's $26 at the moment. I think his run in the Caulfield Cup indicated that he does like further and he could, you know, he could go all day. And if I had to throw in one, just for the sentimental kind of value bet of the race, it would be number 18, Porky Arm. Now, this horse is at $151 at the moment. So we're at serious long odds. But story of Harry Coffey is just incredible. He's a jockey who has cystic fibrosis. Throughout the whole COVID-19 pandemic, he couldn't ride because it was too dangerous for his health. If he got COVID-19, you know, he'd be in serious trouble. He's come back. He's jumped on the first Melbourne Cup runner for the team that is Ben and JD Hayes. It'd be quite the fairy tale if they could run top 3. So there you go.
Wow.
As Emma Friedman shoots for 3 first fours, never been done before. I can say that with absolute certainty. Here is Emma Friedman's boxed first four again. Number 1, Twilight Payment. Number 2, Incentivise. Number 3, Spanish Mission. Number 4, Very Elegant. Number 7, Delphi. Number 12, Persan. And your roughy, if you want to have a bit of fun, is number 18, Port Guillaume. Emma Friedman, if this gets up again tomorrow, as we fully expect it to, there'll be a building statues of you outside the Rush Hour studio here in
outside of Flemington, you mean?
No. It'll be outside our studio because this is the only place you can get these tips.
Do you know what as well? Like, how much of an idiot am I? Like, I do this every year for you guys and pick the first four. And as you mentioned, pick the last two. Do you reckon I've had a bet on it?
No.
Absolute idiot.
Well, don't. You're not allowed to bet on it this year because if you do it, it doesn't get
serious?
Up.
No, I could be rich.
No, you gotta do it for the people, Freo. We appreciate the tips. We appreciate your time. Have a great Melbourne Cup day.
Yeah, you too, guys. Enjoy it. Have a glass of champers at 3 o'clock for the race that stops the nation. And, yeah, hopefully we can do it again.
Here we go.
The Rush Hour Odds Update. Take a same game multi with Bluebet, now available on all footy games.
Yeah, SMG, the Melbourne Cup tomorrow, the race that stops a nation. You and I are going to be giving our personal tips. We've already heard from Emma Friedman, who's talked us into the first four. But we need to bring in our man from Bluebet, Duncan McRae, because Dunk needs to tell us where the money is going, what the odds are looking like. Dunk, as we welcome you in, there's a real short price favourite for the Melbourne Cup tomorrow.
Yeah, good evening, Liam, MG, all the listeners. Yeah, what a big day. 3 o'clock tomorrow and incentivised. The Caulfield Cup winner, the nation is riding him home tomorrow. $2.30 out to $2.80, one of the shortest price favourites we've had in years. Spanish Mission at $11, boys. Twilight Payment at $12. Grand Promenade just won the other day, $17 into $15, along with Floating Artist, who went up $21 into $15, and one that a bit of odds, boys. Ocean Billy, $101 into $67. So check out all the markets. Bluebet tomorrow, boys.
From a personal perspective, Dunk, who do you like tomorrow?
Yeah, well, from a personal perspective, I'll be booing the favourite, boys. I know that. But I like something down on the weights. Floating Artist for me. Kieran Maher, David Eustace, T.O. Nugent. I think it'll be very hard to beat. Don't forget, we're betting Best Tote Exotics all day tomorrow at Flemington.
There you go. Wow. Bit of value there. Bet on the Spring Carnival with Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Dunk, going to be a big day for you and everyone at Bluebet tomorrow. Enjoy it.
Pumped up. Thanks, lads. Have a great
good
day.
Good buddy.
Revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, October 30 to November 6. VRC.com.au. This is the Rush Hour Melbourne Cup Tipping League.
The horses are on the track.
Now, week one of our tipping league is in the books, MG, and
we didn't go too good, did we?
No, we didn't go great. Well, we went sort of not very good, but also we've got something we can write home, room for improvement, tell the parents about on the way home, you know what I mean?
Okay.
The Victoria Derby over the weekend. Just to revisit, these were our tips.
Oh, look, I can't go past the favourite, Gunstock.
Oh, I like Gunstock as well. I think that's a consensus pick for the Rush Hour.
Hey, great minds.
Great minds.
Gator and Tony Brassel. That's us.
But I will say one thing. Number 14, Raging Bull. Now, if that turns out to be actually Gordon Tallis.
It will be.
Then I'd be backing Raging Bull. Right. Now, Gunstock, which was the consensus pick for the show, MG, it finished 13th. It was nowhere near it. But Raging Bull came fourth.
Yeah, with a bang.
That doesn't help you in the tipping league because you need to be tipping a win,
winners,
second or third. And on that note, we should say well done to Etienne, who sits atop the Rush Hours tipping league in first place. Tim is second, Melissa B third, Christina H in fourth, and Dave T rounds out the top five for our tipping league.
Well done.
Going well, going well. Still time to join in. Head to the Triple M win page for the details, or you can sign up at giddyupflemington.com.au. Now, MG, we need to give our tips now for tomorrow's big one. If you missed Emma Friedman's tips earlier on, head to our socials at Rush Hour Triple M. You'll see the full Emma Friedman tips. She has steered us into the first four the last 2 years in a row, so go check those out. MG, who do you like in the cup?
Oh, look, I can't go past Incentivise, the favourite, as we spoke to with Freo. Not since Farlap have we seen a horse been so short in the Melbourne Cup. But this morning it was $2.80. Look, I can't go past it. I think I'm going to go more around the fact that I'm going to go for a first three or four in this race tomorrow. That's what I usually do. It's so hard to pick the winner. But I haven't seen a clear-cut favourite for a long time since I've seen a horse like Incentivise. The way it won the Caulfield Cup in a canter makes you think that it's got another... you know, 400 or 500 metres in it to win this.
I'm going to give you some value because you get more points. You know, if you pick a roughie, there's an opportunity to score a lot more points. Ocean Billy, number 8. It's a roughie. It's a very roughie, but here's what I'll say, MG. It's a Kiwi horse, and if I look at the NRL free agency frenzy that's going on right now, it's all about the Kiwis. Brandon Smith, Joey Manu, everyone wants to get a hold of a Kiwi. So I'm thinking tomorrow, you want to get a hold of a Kiwi, Ocean Billy. It's got horseshoes on its silks. I figure that's always a pretty good sign. So there's a roughie for.
Look, I've got a couple of. I like Sir Lucan as a bit of a boulder. Okay. Very, very elegant's going to be around there. But the only lady who's racing tomorrow, the only female jockey, is Rachel King on Pondus at $31. Put that in your top four as well. I think that might go really well. She's a good jockey, Rachel King.
There's some numbers for you. Make sure you head to the Triple M Women page for details, or you can sign up to take part in our tipping league. Giddy up, Flemington. Play along. See if you can't chase down Etienne, who sits at the top of our Rush Hour tipping league. Almost time for us to get out of here, MG, tomorrow. It is the race that stops a nation. So make sure, if you didn't, for the last 2 years, follow Emma Friedman's tips exclusively to the Rush Hour.
She's been awesome. She knows exactly what's going on in the world of racing. So listen to her, people, please.
Follow the great Emma Friedman. But before we go today...
Has MG been paying attention?
Have you?
Well, I did exactly what you said I'd do on Saturday. I parked myself in front of the TV with a couple of quiet beers and had a couple of mates over, and we just had a few bets and a bit of a joke and a frivolity of afternoon entertainment.
Very good, and I'm sure you would have been betting with Blue Bet. This is the game where I play MG grabs from the weekend of sport. He needs to tell me what the sport and what the story is. Let's start with this one.
You signed your 6 2-minute round, you little... Shut up.
That can only be one person. And he, you know when the kettle's about to boil and it starts to whistle? That's Gal at the moment with Oshé Olé.
You know the only thing you've ever done in your life is get caught Oshé Olé by the freaking CEO of the game. You're a nothing who's done nothing.
Gal, would you like to fight 8 2-minute rounds?
I'll fight you 8 2-minute rounds, yeah.
Okay, this was all the way back on Friday night, I think, where Paul Gallen and Josh Alloway, it's done. It's locked in. It's happening. Gao v. Alloway, December 10th, it is happening, and they have agreed to 8 2-minute rounds. There was a back and forth thing via Instagram there on Main Event channel as to what they originally agreed to fight. Gao was saying it was 6 3-minute rounds. Josh Alloway was saying, oh, no, you tried to fight BJ. Back and forth, he said.
Yep.
They've agreed. The fight is on, and obviously we will get to hear this when Josh Alloway walks out.
Oshé Olé, one vote. Oshé Olé, one vote. Oshé Olé, one vote. Oshé Olé, one vote. Oshé Olé, one vote.
And it sounds like that's going to get under Gao's skin too. Oshé Olé,
one vote. Gao, we can get you a song made up too, brother. Oshé Olé. Yes!
I'm looking forward to that fight. We'll have to be there for that one, MJ.
Oh, we'll be there. We'll be ringside, baby.
All right, next one, MG. What's the sport? What's the story?
Down the pitch straight away. Has he nipped it? He has.
That'd be the Aussies in T20 going down that's to gone. England.
Six rows back. That's gone top tier.
Correct. We got absolutely hammered by the Poms. They beat us by 8 wickets, made light work of our total. I think they only lost 2 wickets. And have you seen Warnie's come out and basically said, Steve Smith cannot play T20 cricket, has never been able to crack it in the format, needs to be dropped for Mitch Marsh.
I tend to agree with him in this format. Anytime Warnie talks about cricket, you've got to kind of listen to him. He's got a great eye for the game, and I think he'd make a great coach. But, yeah, look, it's just not Steve Smith's bag, it wouldn't seem. You'd think, but being one of the world's best batsmen, you could adapt to any type of terrain. But, no, Steve just hasn't kind of gotten the bug yet. And in the same way, didn't India get beaten for the second time in a row
India
as well?
I don't think India have got a point. Australia will play Bangladesh on Thursday night, 2 games to go. Bangladesh and the West Indies, they sit third. They're out of qualification at the moment, so they need to win.
They need to win.
MG, next one, what's the sport? What's the story?
What happened last night? What do you say to you? What do you say to the fans of Collingwood?
That's the young guy who was in a bit of trouble in New York, Jordan De Goey.
Collingwood's Jordan De Goey has been arrested while overseas in New York. De Goey is accused of forcibly touching a woman and assaulting a man in a bar.
Yeah, this is a nasty story. Jordan De Goey and another Australian, a friend of his, were arrested in the early hours of Saturday morning, charged, then released. And now the situation for Jordan De Goey is that he's been stood down indefinitely by Collingwood, and he's got a court date in New York on December 8th. So he will have to stay there.
Well, I was reading this morning, and look, the higher end of the scale as far as punishment is a year in jail. The lead-up videos that we saw all over the media over the weekend with him and his mate drinking, look like vodka or something straight from a bottle, won't help him.
For those who might not be familiar with Jordan De Goey, he is equivalent to, for Collingwood, he's like Kalyn Ponga. He is their best, most talented player, but with a Mitchell Pearce rap sheet. He's got a he's got a troubled past with off-field indiscretions. And Collingwood now have to make a serious decision whether they're fair dinkum about culture and going forward as a club after what's been a really turbulent year. They need to decide whether they are prepared to stand up and you know, sack this player for good, knowing that someone else will probably give him a chance.
And what's your gut say, being the AFL officiato here on the show?
He's innocent until proven guilty of the charges in New York, but it now comes down to a question of culture for Collingwood. This is a team, as I said, that's had a really tough year. I think it's going to be that old adage, MG, he's the best player. It'll be rules for some, rules for other. If this guy was a middle-of-the-road player, he'd be sacked, cut, no worries. Yep. But because he is at the top end of their talent list, he will be given a fourth, fifth chance, whatever number he's up to. So, all right, that's us done. Tomorrow it is the race that stops the nation. We will be, the potty will be dropping after the race tomorrow. The race happening at 3 o'clock on the button. So the podcast will come shortly after that. And of course, we'll be on air from 6 o'clock as well. Say your goodbyes, MG.
Yep. Can I wait for the big race that stops the nation tomorrow? As always, thank you so much for your ears, beautiful people. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.